Bill Haskell is with the CDC. He's a project officer in the Policy and Standards Development Branch of the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, also known as NIOSH, National Personal Protective Technology Laboratory. Prior to working with NIOSH, Haskell worked for 24 years with the Department of Defense at the Army Research Lab and the Army Soldier Systems Center. Haskell is a member of the Interagency Board for Equipment Standardization and Interoperability, serving as the federal co-chair for the equipment subgroup. He is a member of many professional organizations and serves on numerous committees, including NIJ's CBRN Protective Ensemble Special Technical Committee. Bill earned his bachelor's degree in civil engineering and a master's degree in plastics engineering from the University of Massachusetts at Lowell.
Okay, I wanted to give you a quick idea of what NIOSH is and what it isn't. I think you're all familiar with OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. We are not OSHA. A lot of people confuse us with OSHA. OSHA is under the Department of Labor, and one of their roles is to enforce worker health and safety laws. We're under the Department of Health and Human Services and under CDC. NIOSH and OSHA were established back in the early 70s, and our job is to do research, training, and prevention recommendations for worker health and safety in this country. We also, by code of federal regulation, develop and conduct certification of respirators for workers. Now, NIOSH NPPTL, a National Personal Protective Technology Laboratory, was established in 2001 by a directive for Congress to have a federal lab addressing personal protective equipment technology and standards. And it made sense since NIOSH already did respirator certification and development at our organization in Morgantown. They combined it into a new laboratory, which is outside of Pittsburgh. And this is the website where you can get information on all our different projects, our standards, a lot of selection, use, and guidance documents from everything from filtering face pieces for H1N1 to very complex air supplied systems. I urge you to check out that website. Related to public safety, quick explanation of some of the different types of respirators that we get involved with. Tight-fitting face pieces like gas masks, loose-fitting hood-type or helmet-type respirators like PAPRs and hooded respirators that you might see EMS personnel wearing. The method of exposure control is usually air purifying elements, including PAPRs, power air purifying respirators, filtering facepiece respirators, and half masks, or air supplied respirators such as closed circuit breathing apparatus and tethered air supplied respirators. We normally categorize it into two different areas of the breathing zone within the facepiece. Negative pressure, like an APR, is where the breather is sucking air in, pulling that air with the power of their lungs through the filtering media. That can be very intensive on the physiological capabilities of the person. And positive air pressure systems, like self-contained breathing apparatus, where you're actually providing a clean source of breathing air and usually puts an overpressure inside the face piece, which makes it easier to breathe and gives you higher protection factors. NIOSH also puts out what's called the Pocket Guide to Chemical Hazards. This is a tremendous document that is used by industrial hygienists across the world, by safety and health experts, chemical industry, by hazmat response organizations, both industrially and with fire service. And you can get all the exposure information on the industrial chemicals in there, recommendations for personal protective equipment, and I urge you to take a look at that particular document. And it is can be downloaded for free, or you can actually write for it, and NIOSH will send you a copy for free. NIOSH got involved with developing respirator standards back in March of 1999. We have continued to get funding from the Department of Homeland Security through Phil and his organization. And I'm going to tell you about the CBRN respirator standards that we've developed in the past decade. We've worked very closely with NIST, with the U.S. Army Research Development Engineering Command, with OSHA, NFPA, and we've come up with a whole new suite of standards for law enforcement and public safety professionals, and I'll quickly discuss which standards we have completed and which ones are ongoing. One thing we had to do was develop a suite of new standards, particularly for emergency responders. We have always been certifying things like gas masks and self-contained breathing apparatus for industrial applications and for firefighting applications. but we needed to come up with an enhanced set of performance criteria related to chemical, biological, and radiological terrorism in the crisis and mitigation work that public safety professionals will be doing. We had to come up with better durability testing, vibration, tumble, high temperature storage. We had to come up with a better series of gas life testing for APRs. We identified about 151 different toxic industrial chemicals that could be used in a terrorism event. We had to come up with testing for live chemical warfare agents. We actually test all of our certified CBR and respirators with nerve agent and blister agent. We had to come up with better ability to speak and communicate in the environments which public safety professionals would have to operate. And we developed a human subject laboratory protection level test to actually validate that the manufacturer's products will fit a particular population of people. The first standard that was released was the self-contained breathing apparatus standard in 2002. We did that one because it was felt that the fire service, which is on the front line of terrorism response, have CBS, open circuit self-contained breathing apparatus, and we needed to determine how hardened they were to chemical warfare agents and other threats. That was followed by the air purifying respirator standard, or gas mask standard, in 2003, an escape mask standard in 2003, and then power air purifying respirator CBRN standard in 2006. And there's pictures of the different types of products to the right. We also have to develop our standards through a rulemaking process under 42 CFR Part 84, which is a code of federal regulation. We have to go through a series of public meetings. We have to post things on dockets. We have to give people the ability to be involved with our standard-making process. And we are developing a series of new ones, including a closed-circuit, self-contained escape respirator. And we're coming up with new requirements to measure total inward leakage on things like filtering face pieces. Also under development is a standard for CBR and PAPR, power air purifying respirator. Closed circuit or rebreathers. Some of you may be familiar with the four-hour rebreathers that are used. They're used quite extensively in coal mine accident rescue, but they're also being used now by many fire departments and police departments when they need longer breathing durations than an open circuit SCBA will give you. Phil had mentioned the air-fed suit standard and a combination respirator where you would have something like an APR and an SCBA combined into one unit. We have a standard for that under development. One thing NIOSH does as the federal certifier, we maintain a certified equipment list. If you go to that website, you can actively search for all the different types of respirators, both CBRN and industrial by category, and instantly get a readout of the NIOSH approval number, the manufacturer make and model, and a link to the manufacturer information. On the very top, we keep it simple that you can click one of these categories and quickly get a list of the CBRN respirators that we have approved. The way we work our approval process is the manufacturer contracts NIOSH, the federal government, directly. They submit their product to us, as well as setting up a bank account to run the testing. We run the certification. If they pass, then we actually give them permission to label it with a NIOSH certified label. We have the right at any time to go back and check the quality control. If we get reports that there's been perceived field failures or quality control problems in the field, we have the right to go back in and check product and check their manufacturing line. And if we feel that a product is no longer meeting our original requirements, we will pull their certification and send out a notice to the community that that particular product certification approval has been withdrawn by NIOSH. Now you're probably asking, what was our role in the special technical committee? Well, if you look at the photo on the right, one concept that we started in development with the NFPA committees was, when you're protecting an emergency responder, you need to protect the person as a system. It's a respirator, it's a garment or it's protective clothing, it's gloves, it's boots, it's other operational equipment they may be wearing, such as a helmet or a vest. And within the NIJ standard, ensemble standard, We developed law enforcement response levels for different threat environments. LERLs 1, 2, 3, and 4. Within that NIJ standard, it does mandate that the ensemble will be submitted with a specific NIAR-certified CBRN-SCBA by the ensemble manufacturer and will be tested with that particular make and model of respirator and will be labeled for use with that particular ensemble, and that information is also included in the technical data package. One reason we like this philosophy is, for those of you that have trained your departments with respirators and ensembles, boots and gloves, have you seen people tape everything? They tape around the face piece, they tape the gloves, they tape the wrists, they tape. The way our standards are written is you meet the performance requirements of the standard without having to tape. All the inward leakage, the permeation, the liquid tight integrity. So we feel the taping is not an adequate or proper approach for an emergency responder to be doing in an emergency situation. I'm sure Bob Vondersack will talk more about the NFPA standards. I do participate on the NFPA committees that have these different standards, including CBRN. Those standards also mandate that you must use a NIAR CBRN certified respirator. We do have a nice guidance document out there for emergency responders, not just for the departments, but also for those that are doing identification and selection and procurement of personal protective equipment. It does compare the different OSHA requirements, the NIOSH requirements, the NFPA ensemble requirements, how they mate together, and how they should be selected. And you can download that document for free at this NIOSH website. In closing, I wanted to take the opportunity to quickly mention our National Occupational Research Agenda, or NORA. It's a process that NIOSH has been facilitating for over 20 years. We have different committees looking at research agendas in the different sectors, such as manufacturing, services, construction, health and safety, and we have one now related to public safety. We have professionals from law enforcement, fire service, emergency medical service, and corrections that have helped us develop a national agenda of research strategic goals. These are some of the folks that are represented right now on our committee. One thing I've hoped to accomplish while at this meeting is to identify more corrections folks to participate on this NORA Public Safety Council. We do have excellent representation from the fire service and from police and law enforcement. That NORA Safety Sector Council is chaired by my boss, Les Board. Our co-chair is Dr. Jeff Burgess from the University of Arizona. And our next meeting will be August 18th and 19th in Washington, D.C. That's it.
Thank you.